Goals are so important because they give us direction. They put a stake out in front of us to head toward.
And the reality is, it wasn't about achieving it or not achieving it. It was about being aware of where you're at now to best support where you're at now.
It's a beautiful opportunity.
Our fulfillment's coming from within, and then the perspective on how we embody those action steps and those tasks to experience ourselves in that journey, you know, that's how we learn and grow.
Very, very different, like so different ends of the spectrum.
We impact so many people and we don't even realize.
So last time we were talking about how important it is to have some whys when we're talking about personal growth, right? Because if we don't have an idea of why we're even doing it, it's hard to stay motivated. But then we need to understand its importance, right? So it's good to know why, but importance is a factor too. So when we're traveling down that journey, like, what's the importance of the goal? Why is it even there? And so, yes, why, but then importance factor. And is one a higher priority level than another one? Because if we set all these goals, then how do we prioritize the goals? Are they all like highest level importance? And do we need to have all of them done immediately? And now am I stressing myself out? So where do we go from there?
Right. It feels like we want to do so much, and that's a good thing, but is it achievable if we're attempting to do them all at once?
Exactly.
So I love that idea of prioritizing. That's something that we don't often hear. We say, hey, it's good to have these goals, and you want to make goals, like make a bunch of goals, you know, dream big and all these great, those are beautiful sentiments, but what about the actionability? What about how do we actually get it done? Because that's the hardest part. We can have all the greatest goals in the world, but if we aren't able to achieve them and fulfill them and experience them because we're so caught in the ideation phase,
then
we're kind of lost here.
Exactly. And we've even had some individuals when we do our Facebook Lives, and those really are community discussions. It's us answering any questions that individuals might have over our podcasts or just what we offer on our Facebook. And they'll say, okay, what's the goal of this discussion? Because we talk about it all of the time. A clear, concise goal will help you drive to a clear, concise outcome. Because then you'll have a very defined target. Sometimes it's okay to not have a clear, concise goal. But if we have a clear, concise goal, then we know exactly where we're driving. And if we decide to deviate from that, good. Then we at least know what we're deviating from as well. So part of this process is, what goals do we have? And then how are we going to prioritize those goals? And I'd like to talk a little bit about that again. As we're wrapping up this whole discussion around silencing the inner critic, part of doing that can be around having those goals and having them in a priority order. And then, as you talked about in our last podcast, being able to be okay if some of that adjusts, being able to maneuver around if that goal changes, or maybe another goal becomes a higher priority because life challenges shift. But then how do you do that?
Right. I think one of the first steps is to understand the difference between a goal and an action step, right?
Yes. What is that?
So a lot of people make action steps the goals, and I feel like that's why they're not fulfilled. And then that's where the inner critic comes in. And it starts telling us that we can't get it done, or we're not good enough, and all these other things. And we say, oh, I'm just never going to reach my goals. And then there's the other inner critic again, right?
Exactly.
And so it becomes this repeat cycle. And when we can differentiate an action step from a goal being more like, my goal is that I view everything as consistent self-growth. So that when I take an action step, like, you know, I'm going to work out twice a week every week this year. Great. Or I'm going to focus on meditating three times a week. Okay, great. If the goal is focus on meditation, for example, I'm going to meditate three times a week, and then we miss one of them because we have a busy week, and then the next week gets a little busy and we only get one instead of the three, it can really start to, that's where the inner critic comes in. Mm-hmm. But if the goal is about the self-growth, for example, and we start focusing in on, okay, my goal this year is to view everything as an opportunity for self-growth. And the way I'm going to do that is start by meditating three times per week, because meditation is a tool for self-reflection and for, in many ways, self-actualization in that sense. Okay. So then I'm setting an opportunity that, okay, if I do meditate, great. Then I'm using this tool to support the self-growth and that introspection and that connection to understand where I desire to bring more intention and purpose to who I am and the actions that I take. Let's say 1 week I only get one meditation session in. Instead of getting mad at myself for not achieving my goal, I'm still focused on the self-growth. What happened in my life that kept me from doing, reaching my intentional action step of three per week? And how can that support my self-growth? Do I have something to learn from this week? Do I realize that right now I'm just not in a space due to travel that, you know, hey, I feel better and I do better meditations when I'm at home, and I'm not ready to make that step forward into meditating while I'm traveling and all these other things that are going on in my life. Great. That's a way to learn more about yourself. So you're not pushing yourself into something you're just not ready for yet. And then ultimately not achieving it, or have the illusion of not achieving it, when the reality is it wasn't about achieving it or not achieving it. It was about being aware of where you're at now to best support where you're at now.
Right. And if your grandest goal is a lifelong journey of growth, then that can be the overarching ultimate goal.
Yes.
That you're actually striving toward. And that just supplemented that goal, right? So you're actually achieving your greatest goal, which is a lifelong learning process and a growth process. And so you're utilizing all your other goals to achieve your greatest goal, which is to get to know who you are at all layers of yourself and continue to grow that aspect of who you are, right? And when we look at it that way, then how amazing is it that you had the opportunity to look at it from a different angle and to learn a different part of yourself? And that's where adaptability, which is something we talked about in our last podcast, really comes into play. Yes, I've got this goal and I've got these action steps and I've got the tasks under the action steps to achieve that. So we can break it down in that way. But then life throws me a curveball, as it generally does. Yes. And it gives me an opportunity to look at something different and learn something different about myself. Then I can get back to that other goal. But maybe that goal changes based on what I learned. Goals are so important because they give us direction. They put a stake out in front of us to head toward until that direction maybe no longer serves us, or until we get to that stake in the ground. Mm-hmm. And it's so, so vital to not make that stake in the ground the prize, because that's not the prize. The prize is everything that we learn about ourselves on the journey to get to that goal. Mm-hmm. It's just the stake in the ground, right? And just like any other inanimate object, it is there until we either need it or we don't need it, and then it fades into the background just like everything else. But everything, every insight, every energy, every interaction along that way is the true treasure that we take with us. Based on your belief system, I'm not telling anyone what to believe, But for me, what I believe is every ounce of that energy and every memory that I create is the treasure that I will take with me long past when I'm here. Mm-hmm. And it's not going to be any physical thing that I achieve when I'm here. So it's a beautiful opportunity, right?
Agreed. Agreed. And when something's intangible, it's easy to want to latch on to external achievements. But the internal ones, as you're talking about, we can realize that those are, as we were saying last time, is like the source mm-hmm. aspect of our personal growth and self-improvement. Those take us forward, even if your focus is just on your one life here as a human being. With that same perspective, it's allowing you to expand just within this experience. And what a great opportunity, because how many times have we heard story after story after story of people achieving their goal, quote unquote, and then feeling unfulfilled or happy for like 2 minutes and being like, well, what now?
Yes.
Or what else? Or what, you know, being, I mean, really feel, and then almost getting into depression or actually getting into depression because I spent so much time, so much energy, so much effort pushing from into the outside world what they desired to experience and fulfill on the inside, that it was actually a void the whole time.
Yes.
And so what you're talking about is our goals that are fulfilled from within, that can be plug and played from any little thing that we are doing, any action step, any task that we can apply, realizing that our fulfillment's coming from within, and then the perspective on how we embody those action steps and those tasks to experience ourselves in that journey, you know, that's how we learn and grow. Mm-hmm. And that's limitless. That's from a place of abundance. And that's why it's so fulfilling.
Hi, I'm your host, Amber, and I am here with Austin on the Heart Leader Podcast. We are so grateful that you are tuning in to be with us. To never miss an episode, take a moment right now to click the subscribe button below and give us a like so we know we're creating content that you really enjoy. And I'm going to bring up another tool that we talked about in a previous podcast, which is the childlike wonder, right? Mm. When we come at any goal that we set, any purpose-driven approach with childlike wonder. And again, difference between childlike wonder and childish, very, very different, like so different ends of the spectrum, right? And it's not bad to be childish sometimes either. But when we look at things with childlike wonder, like this is the first time that we're doing something, or the first in interaction, or we're seeing things in such a different view that's playful and fun. And it's okay if I fall down because it's my first time doing this. And of course, I'm going to fall down. Then these goals and the trek toward the goal suddenly become so much more enjoyable because we're not holding ourselves to some kind of a standard where we feel like we have to be perfect. Right? There's that inner critic thing again about, oh, I have to be perfect because now I'm of a certain age and I should know better somehow. And it's so not true, because no matter how old we are, and even no matter how many times we've done something, the circumstances around it may be different. The people engaged in it may be different, which changes the whole game. Mm-hmm. Right? And so when we look at it with childlike wonder, we realize no matter how many times we've done something, it's still the first time we've ever done it because the conditions around it are different. And so it's playful, it's fun, it's new. We're learning something new because we're seeing it as new. And suddenly we grow from it in a different way. And we allow ourselves to see it in a different way. And life doesn't feel so heavy and monotonous, and ugh, I have to do this again. It feels like, oh my gosh, I get to do this again. I get to do something I may have done 100 times, but now in a different way. Let's see what I can take from it that's new and different. Mm-hmm. And it's phenomenal.
It's almost like what happens every morning when we wake up, right? It's almost like a reset button in terms of a whole, even though we've lived X amount of days and we might be doing the same thing that we did yesterday today, but like you said, it's completely different. In many ways, it's completely different. And that's why it's so important when we can wake up with purpose and intention, then it sets the tone for a whole new experience of life. And so these action steps that we take and we choose and these goals that we set to help us understand who we are and what our capabilities are, these are experiences that you're saying that we can take all throughout our life and we can share with others, we can grow in it within ourselves, we can expand upon it with the people that we love and in communities and family and connection. And it creates that ripple effect that you were saying last time. That's so beautiful. And so many people, especially towards the end of their lives, when they're talking about having a legacy, and so many people feel like maybe they didn't leave enough of a legacy, or they didn't, who are they actually impacting? The reality is we impact so many people and we don't even realize. But regardless, we need to be in a space and choose to be impactful with ourselves and be happy and fulfilled with what the impact we made on our own life. Because naturally, the external result is going to be that others will be impacted. I would say it'd be very, very rare if someone felt unfulfilled their whole life and others like, oh, that's the life I want to live.
Yes.
Right? No. And maybe they might be doing a really good job masking it, but it's going to come out eventually, just like every truth does.
Yep.
But when there's authentic fulfillment, it is infectious. It is, I mean, we all know it. We've all seen it. It is inspiring at a level that touches your soul. And you can't not move at that point in terms of, yes, I want that.
Exactly. And there's passion behind it,
yeah,
right?
Absolutely.
And when we're talking about that falling in love with yourself, which kind of sounds weird sometimes, but this whole self-love movement, which I'm so grateful for, but again, we have to get to a point where we've silenced the inner critic enough that we can get to that space of falling in love with ourselves and having that self-love. But it brings out that joy and that knowing. And only then can we determine, okay, what is the legacy, as you talk about, that we desire to leave? Because we know ourselves enough. We know who we are enough to say, this is the impact that I desire to leave in my family, in the community, in the planet around me. Until then, we might be guessing at it, but it is based on what someone else has told us we should be leaving behind, or what we are kind of maybe guessing at others might like us to leave behind. It's not coming from that true sense of our soul. Like, this is what I came to leave as my mark on this beautiful planet that we have. And so the more we can silence that inner critic, we can hear our true authentic voice, we can love who we are to the depths of who we are authentically, then we can pivot and say, what am I here to leave as my authentic voice in this beautiful planet that we have? Maybe it is with my family, and then my family's voice resonates within our community. Maybe it is within the community, but let's get ourselves to that point so that we know what our legacy is. And maybe that's a goal that you set right now. Maybe your goal is, I desire to get to the point where I know what my legacy is.
Absolutely. I love that. I mean, that to me is back to what we're saying, a source goal, right? Mm-hmm. If in your legacy might be, for example, someone who consistently viewed self-growth. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's very inspiring. I love hearing stories when people are in their 80s or 90s, even early 100s, and they're still vibrant and sharp, and they're still learning, and they're still experiencing life. You know, we were watching a show recently about Blue Zones on Netflix, right? And there was a 103-year-old woman in Japan who's riding her bike to work. Like, she's still, not because she has to, because she wants to, because that's self-growth. And she's teaching herself things that she never had done before at 103.
Yes.
You know, and we have people who are bored at 20.
Yes.
Like, come on. when you can start to really view your legacy from that standpoint, I mean, that's, I'll never meet that woman. And that woman was extremely inspiring to me. She may never know that. And that's okay. But when the legacy is about personal growth, it's going to be so infectious that it can't not be inspiring.
Yes. And it comes from a place of truth.
Yeah.
For you. And you know that it may not be other individuals' truth, like probably even in her own community. The life that she has chosen is not the life other people have chosen. And that's beautiful too, because that means that she's learning from the other people in her community, because they've chosen a different way of being. And she's likely going around going, okay, so show me how you are. And that, I feel, is such an important step. Even in our own growth journey, is recognizing that we don't need to make everyone else little molds of who we are. The key is to celebrate how other people are different from us and learn from that, so that we can honor those differences, but then still connect where we are the same.
Beautifully said. And I feel like a really good analogy to kind of just help explore that in detail is one that you've always said. And that's, you know, if you were to ask someone, what's the perfect way to get across, to drive across America, for example?
Yeah.
Right? From LA to New York. Well, what's the intention? Do you want it to be the fastest? Do you want to see all the national parks? Do you want to see all the big cities? Do you want to explore the northern side? Do you want to go the southern route? Do you want to be the slowest route? Do you want to do the International House of Pancakes route? Do you want to see all the UFO sightings all the way through? Do you want to see the biggest ball of yarn? Like, you know, what do you want to experience? There's no perfect way to get across America from LA to New York. That's too relative.
Yeah.
Right? It only matters of, okay, well, for someone who really wants to go fast, maybe the slowest route's probably not the best, right? Mm-hmm. And someone who wants to experience all the national parks, maybe the International House of Pancakes isn't probably the best way to go explore that. So we just need to have more understanding of what we're doing. And each one of those routes is beautiful and perfect and intentional in its own way. It's because there is, as we talk about, it's progress over perfection. Right. Mm-hmm. So what are you learning and what are you gaining from that experience? You know, if you really, really deeply desire to go from LA to New York, the fastest route, okay, great. Then what did you gain from that experience? And if you want to make your way back from New York to LA and do something different other than the fastest way, well, that's great too. So there's more than one way, and we can be honoring of all of those ways. And we can say that my way is not the best way, or your way is not the best way. But all of them are beautiful because they're creating a collective experience that we can all learn and grow from and see what is possible.
Exactly. And, you know, if we think about the travel as those who mapped out our world in the beginning, somebody always has to go first, and then somebody travels it again and finds something different. And then somebody travels it again and finds something different and keeps adding and building upon. And so that is also the beauty of it, is no matter how many times we travel the same road, we're all finding unique aspects of that same road. And so even if you and I do have things that are exactly the same that we enjoy, we're experiencing that differently. So where we have differences, we have differences. But where we have similarities, we're experiencing those similarities very differently. And so we learn from each other even in that. And to be able to have goals where we share our goals and we learn from each other in shared goals and gain insights from one another, that's a strength. So we have our personal journey, but when we can share our personal goals with one another as a community and not have our ego or our inner critic have us say, oh no, this is mine, my precious, you cannot have it, then we take away our opportunity to even grow and learn in that capacity. Because I want to know, like maybe I have a goal of meditating, as you had brought up previously, like 3 times per week. And I would like you have the same goal. And then we sit and we meditate together. We do a walking meditation once per week. We do a guided meditation once per week. And we do a gazing meditation once per week. And we do it together. And then we share our experiences with each other. Then that gives me an opportunity to learn from your experience. I didn't have the same experience you had, but it gives me an opportunity to say, oh, well, there's a potential for an experience. It doesn't change my experience. It just gives me an awareness of a greater potential that I might suddenly expand into. Mm. Right?
Powerful. So. Absolutely. And so, yeah, I mean, if meditation or something like that is an opportunity for someone, find someone to do things with.
Yeah,
you know, take these action steps, like, and maybe talk to a friend or a loved one, or like what you and I do is, we say, hey, like, you know, our aligned goals are that we desire to be more aware of who we are, so we can be the best versions of ourselves, not only in our relationship but to the other relationships we have in our lives. And so, you know, meditating, when we meditate together, that supports that goal. When we go on our walks, that supports that goal. When we do podcasts like this, that supports our goal. When we focus on so many different, like when we cook together, I mean, there's so many different things that we do that supports that goal. And so again, it brings more intention and purpose into it. And when we become purposeful, as we were saying, full of purpose, then we naturally become more fulfilled, because we are bringing that. We're not allowing the external to fill the internal. We're allowing the internal to fill the external. And that's how we maintain and live purposeful, intentional, and fulfilled life.
Yeah. And that's the point of this community,
yeah.
Like the Heart Leader community, to be able to host wherever anybody is listening to this podcast. If we have a shared goal, if they have a goal, if anybody listening to this has a goal and they're like, yeah, I want to find someone who might have a similar or shared goal and I don't have someone in my direct community, then they can post out here and say, hey, I would just like someone to support me on this goal. Mm-hmm. Is there someone? Or reach out to the Suivera community and say, hey, I could just use a little support here. And that's the whole point. Like, we're a community of individuals who have dedicated ourselves to love and upliftment. That's what we do. And so we're here to help each other through those goals.
Absolutely. Right? And this tool, this book, Silence Your Inner Critic, is going to be an incredible tool to support that. And what we've done over the last few months with this is just a taste.
Yeah.
Crazy enough,
it is.
Of what's actually in this book. And so I'm really excited for where this is going to go, and all the different free tools we'll have on our website for this, supporting it, and everything within the book. I mean, it's just going to be lists and tools like crazy. So, I hope everyone's really been enjoying these conversations. I know I have. I know I've grown immensely through just having these conversations and being able to read the book. And so it's just something, it's one of those that I know every year, every 2 years, being able to reread the book and have from a greater space of awareness and being able to take these source goals that we're talking about, and applying them in the different action steps and the lists that are in there, all from the standpoint of recognizing that, you know, we're not killing the inner critic or eliminating it or anything like that, that there is intention and purpose behind it. But the reason why it's silencing it is because it allows us, like when it's quiet, we can actually hear ourselves. We're getting, that's us getting out of our own way to allow for the purpose and intention that is within us, that authentic voice that's within us, that we just allow too much noise to drown out. And so when we are silencing that inner critic, it can make that huge, huge step into living our authentic lives and experiencing fulfillment in a way that we never could have imagined.
Yeah. And we'll be doing, you know, online courses, free discussions, things like that throughout the moment that we launch, which is coming up.
Yes.
So we'll keep that all updated as well. So anyone who has gone to silenceyourinnercritic.com and registered for that 20% off will be getting notified here very soon. But ultimately, this is our last discussion over the book. We'll be moving on to other things. So I am so excited about that. So many fun discussion topics coming up. And we just want to say thank you very much for all of your time as we've had these discussions. If you haven't had an opportunity and you're excited as we are about all of the upcoming fun, take a moment right now to click that subscribe button below. Give us some likes. We always love the likes. It lets us know that we are making content that you enjoy. And until next time, I am your host, Amber. I have been here with Austin, and head on over to watch that next video.